Hello, and welcome to Nitwit, Rantings of a Rabid Knitter, a storytelling podcast with occasional knit bits. My name is Carrie, a.k.a. Autumn Breeze, and this is Episode 65, Cotton Story. I want to thank everyone who sent me suggestions on knitting content. You sent me some great ideas. I've made a list, and I'm not going to forget them. Unfortunately, the night after I asked for suggestions, I woke up in a start with one of those eureka, oh, duh, moments. I thought it would be a good idea to talk about the fibers. I mean, isn't that what all of us are kind of obsessed about? Is, yes, the process of knitting, but also all those wonderful fibers. And they each one have a story. Being a collector of myths and stories, I thought I would share some of the stories that I have collected through the years on these various fibers. Now, please bear in mind that I have not been able to find a lot of my source material, so some of this is coming completely from memory. I have done a little bit of research, try to find at least names and dates so that I'm not going, oh, then what's his name some time ago did this or that. And I cannot begin to cover all the different stories for all the different fibers. So I'm going to try to organize this into one. When was the fiber discovered? How was it used? And what were the big events in history that that fiber was involved in? Next, I want to talk about how the fiber is used, how is it best to spin it, and why? What is it about that fiber that makes it want to be spun in one way or another? And maybe cover a little bit of the history of spinning that's associated with that particular fiber, if I can find any out. And then finally, I want to conclude with some information about the uses of the fiber. What are the good properties? What are the bad properties? What can you make with it? What you shouldn't make with it, as far as I'm concerned. Things like that, okay? I do hope that you will indulge me with this little enterprise of mine. I'm hoping that you will find it interesting. Now, let's start with one of my personal favorite fibers, cotton. I like cotton because, one, it's so comfortable to wear. Two, it's so basic. It's kind of one of those plain Jane fibers that have been around and we just don't think that much about. And two, it has had a very sordid past. Cotton grows wild in several different continents, and it has been around for thousands and thousands of years. It was growing wild in the Americas, in Asia, and in Africa. I imagine that thousands and thousands of years ago, and I'm talking maybe even tens of thousands of years ago, when man first started spinning in these very warm tropical areas, one of the first things he plucked to spin was cotton. There it is, with its open buds just begging you to pick it and spin it. Cotton is easily spun right off the seed using a drop spindle. And I imagine that that is how it was originally spun. The oldest garment that they have found that was made from cotton dates back to over 7,000 years ago and was found in a cave in Mexico. That garment was a combination of cotton with accents of skins and feathers. Can you imagine the wonders that that garment could have been in its heyday when it was full instead of just the bits and pieces of rags that are left behind? But that's the problem with cotton, is cotton does disintegrate and it disappears. And that's also one of the wonderful things about cotton. It is so biodegradable that you can chop it up and put it in your composting bin and it will break down and then feed your plants. But I've gone off on a tangent there. So cotton began thousands of years ago and it was cultivated fairly early on. When Columbus came to America, he discovered that the native people had been growing and using cotton for many, many years. He took back their cotton garments, and it was a new discovery in that the American cotton was different than that was being grown in India and Egypt. Soon, the cotton of the Americas surpassed and supplanted the other native cottons, and they began to be cultivated in other areas of the world. Then the colonists came to America. They also found that cotton could be a very good and easy crop to grow, because cotton not only provides you with clothing, but the seed can be pressed to make oils that can be turned into cooking oils, and the mill left of the seed can be used to feed the livestock. So the entire plant was useful, and they grew cotton. Then England, in an attempt to protect the wool industry, made it illegal to import or to manufacture cotton cloth. That did not sit very well with the colonists at all, and there were much arguments and there was much discussion of the value of cotton. But then something happened. The Industrial Revolution. And in England, a method was discovered to efficiently spin and produce cotton thread and weave cotton garments. Now, this England kept to herself. And she demanded that the colonists send the raw materials. But the only way we could get the fabric was to buy it back from England. This, again, did not sit very well with the colonists, and soon there was a revolution. After the revolution, a simple English mill worker by the name of Samuel Slater immigrated from England to the United States. And he carried with him in his mind the mechanisms and the methods behind how to spin cotton thread. This revolution in technology greatly changed the way the United States could make its cloth. Combined with another invention by a man named Eli Whitney of the cotton gin, which effectively and efficiently removes the lint or the fibers from the seed, led to a startling event in the United States. You see, slavery was on the decline. There wasn't a cash crop that really justified the keeping of slaves, because they take money to feed and clothe and care for. And if your crops aren't bringing in enough money to pay for that, then there's no reason to keep the slaves. Then, with the bigger demand of more cotton, more cotton, more cotton, suddenly there was a new king of the cash crops, cotton, and slavery continued on until finally there was the Civil War. With the Civil War, there was a lot of destruction, especially of the southern states. The southern states are the producers of the cotton, but they weren't the ones who produced the cloth. That was being done in the northern states. And there was a conflict again between those who made the raw material and those who produced the cloth. The South could not produce enough cotton individually to be able to really afford to buy back the cloth to clothe their family. Then, slowly, the cotton mills moved further south. They migrated into North Carolina and were here for many years. Now the tragedy is that the mills are closing here in North Carolina now and moving further south yet into Mexico. So still, to this day, there is a lot of controversy around the production of the plant and the production of the cloth. Cotton is a very short fiber. It's much shorter and finer than the majority of wools. Its staple length is between 1 and 2 inches on average. There's a special cotton that's grown on the Sea Islands of North Carolina that has a staple length of 3 to 4 inches. It's very expensive though. So most cotton is very short. And when you're spinning cotton, it's very difficult to do that on anything but, in my opinion, a spindle spinning wheel. The spindle wheel was originally invented in India to spin cotton, and it is perfect for that task. It's got a very high ratio of turns per twist. And what I mean is that for every turn of the big wheel, you get hundreds of twists on the fiber. The best way to spin cotton is using a long draw technique. A long draw technique is what is required also when you're spinning with a charka because you only have one hand to spin because the other hand is turning the wheel. There are two main types of draws when you're spinning. There's the short draw in which your two hands are very close to each other. And then there's the long draw. The short draw, you have your fingers about the staple length apart. Now, with wool and a staple length of 3 to 4 inches, that's no problem. And some of the other fibers, like mohair, which can be as long as 6 inches, again, that's no problem. But when you're talking about 1 inch, having your hands that close together is tedious. So instead, you pull your hand back and away using a long draw technique, and it is easier and simpler to spin. Cotton tends to insist on being spun very fine. This is again because the fibers are so short and they're so fine. You have to put a lot of twist in cotton or else it will just fall apart. In order to get a lot of twist in it, you need to spin it finer. So that's why most of the commercial yarns that are made with cotton, if you look at them, they're made up of many, many different plies of a thin yarn. A ply in a yarn is each individual winding of the yarn. So you will have a 6-ply or a 2-ply or a 3-ply. It really doesn't matter how many plies. A ply doesn't indicate anything about the thickness of the yarn. It's just how many individual threads were combined together to make the yarn. There's also some yarns that are cabled. And what that means is that it's almost a chain stitch that makes those threads into the yarn. Sometimes what you'll have is a multiple ply. You'll have a yarn that is spun and then plied two and two, and then those plies plied back together. So you have a 2x2 or a 4-ply yarn. The more you ply a yarn, the more stable and balanced it usually is. Whenever you ply, especially in hand spun, you are going to be averaging out all your lumps and bumps. Now, I'm not going to say that this will make it a perfectly smooth yarn, but on average it will have a more even diameter. Now, cotton as far as knitting width. Some people complain that it's very stiff and very hard to work with. Cotton was one of those fibers that I used a lot as a child, so I'm very comfortable with knitting with cotton. I do find that there are different cottons that have different stiffnesses. I prefer not to use the shiny cottons because they seem to be a little bit stiffer to me. I like the softer natural cottons. Now, cotton as far as garments. Cotton breathes wonderfully, so it makes a really nice summer sweater. I also like it in my office because it's comfortable, and that is why I'm making myself the red cotton sweater. Now, some of its disadvantages are cotton absorbs water. And that is an advantage and a disadvantage. In a hand towel, that's great. In a sweater, it can be not so good. So if you get caught in a summer downpour in your cotton sweater, you will be soaked to the skin and it will take forever for it to dry. And when cotton gets wet, it stretches. Sometimes, even without being wet, cotton will stretch or grow. You want to be sure that whenever you're knitting a garment with cotton, that you don't make it too big and too heavy. It's very easy to forget that cotton weighs a lot more than wool does. And with that weight, it will pull and grow down. It will shrink back up with washing, but again, when you wear it, it will grow. So try to use a finer yarn, a finer gauge, when you're knitting a cotton sweater. I know that the bulky knits are such a temptation, but you won't be happy if your cute belly length sweater ends up down by your knees. Another thing that I don't like to use cotton for, although some people love cotton for, is socks. And it's more or less the same thing. Cotton grows, it doesn't have as much memory as wool does, and I don't like floppy socks. The first sock I ever knit for myself was knit with cotton, and it didn't work for me. Some of the new cottons that have elastic or nylon with it, those may work fine, but for me, cotton is just not meant for socks. I love cotton also for making lace, and I make a lot of lace tablecloths and doilies with knitting. Cotton shows the stitch definition very well. Cotton is very good for everyday using items around the house. Dishcloths, face cloths, hand towels, and tablecloths. Well, I hope you enjoyed these stories about cotton. There are so many more stories out there that I didn't have a chance to share. Maybe once we finish our first round through stories, I'll come back and pick up some of the other cotton stories. Thank you so much for taking time out and letting me tell you a story. If you have any questions about this story or any of my other stories, please come by the website, which is autumnbreezedesigns.com, or you can send me an email. My email address is Carrie, and that's carrie.autumnbreeze@gmail.com. I have a voicemail number. My voicemail number is 206-666-5775. Thank you again. I hope you have a great week. Bye.